Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. It took me a little while to climb up into the chair today, and I will talk a little bit about that in the binnacleist section of my broadcast. My greetings today go out from the voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other side on voiceofvashon.org. And if you are not able to hear me on 101.9 because the output signal is so paucitous, there's a new word that I just invented, paucitous. And it is also line of sight. And so if you are not able to actually hear me in the radio in your motor car, you can go on to voiceofvashon.org where I am streaming live. So my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who have sent me with varying degrees of both volume and of success, your counsel, your advice on how to deal with my present occupation of the binnacleist. I truly do appreciate it, and I know that all of the pieces of advice which are coming to me are both well-meant, and they are almost certainly as a result of personal experience. In any case, I am very grateful for the concern that has come to me from a number of different places in the world about my announced putting myself on the binnacleist. And so we move into the binnacleist today and tell you that your captain is not doing all that well. And the reason for that is that we have now figured out what has happened, and I seem to have a fracture somewhere in the spine. We did, during the week since the last time that we gathered together around the captain's chair, we did x-rays, we did a lot of lab work, and we did a consultation with Dr. Chris Smith, who is my primary care physician, and who by specialty is an internist. And it was as a result of all of that probing and exploration that we discovered this fracture. I've been giving the encouraging news that, Captain, worry not, because this will heal itself. It may take a while. And in that time, there is going to be some considerable amount of discomfort. Well, they certainly are not blowing smoke up my stern tube on that one, because that is certainly the case. I've been prescribed a pretty healthy painkiller. It seems to be doing very little, and I am telling you all of these things because I know that there are many of Captain Joe's people who are having some of the same concerns. My friend and colleague, Captain Truman O'Brien, suffered through this, and I think to a degree much worse than what I'm experiencing right now, that he went for a number of weeks before they finally were, they being the medical practitioners, the medical profession, were able to give him some relief. He's still not walking exactly perpendicular to the ground, and I suspect that some of that is to take just a little bit of a strain off of the keel, because people's keel is their spine. And I suspect that is what is going on. I tell you all of these things because I know that Some are really concerned that we're not going to make it to my 50th birthday celebration, which is booked and paid out at Point Robinson in Quarters A on the weekend that includes the 8th of November, 2024. Well, we're going to make it, and I am not going to give any more reports on this unless I have something significant either in the plus column or the minus column to report. All of this is just to tell you that even more now than ever before, all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, for whatever reason, are firmly clutched in the palm of my hand, which now is just a little bit sweaty as I figure out how to move around without that rapid intake of breath that tells you that something got caught. Today's broadcast is going to be one in which we visit places that we have talked about before, and to update all of Captain Joe's people on where we are on these things. And I'm going to start off with a story that came to me from, I think it was the Navy Times. Navy Times is part of a family of newspapers which are owned by a civilian company called Military Times. There is a Navy Times, which is for Coast Guard, Navy, and Marine Corps people. An Army Times, which, of course, is for the Army. And Air Force Times for the Air Force. I continue to be somewhat skeptical of the existence of the Space Force, as I continue to believe that the U.S. Air Force did a wonderful job at all of that, and that no additional military organization was needed beyond what already was in existence. Be that as it may, the Space Force apparently does still show up. And so there is no Space Force Times. I assume that they are included in the umbrella of the Air Force Times. Navy Times has done a wonderful job for decades. It's been part of my life since I took the oath for the first time when I was 17 at the on the parade ground at the Coast Guard Academy. And this particular article had to do with the USS Jack H. Lucas, DDG 125, one of the Arleigh Burke destroyers. And the article was lauding the installation of a very sophisticated, very complicated, and very expensive radar system called the ANSPY-6. And the ANSPY-6 is being installed in the USS Jack H. Lucas. And this particular article had a photograph. In fact, it had two photographs of the USS Jack H. Lucas. And and one of them showed her with a tug bent on to a wire leading from her forecastle down to the tug, which means that the tug was pulling her. And she was also showing the hotel flag. To refresh everybody's recollection, the international phonetic alphabet for the letter H is the word hotel. And the hotel flag says to all of us who can read the flags, I have a pilot aboard. So the USS Jack H. Lucas is showing herself with a tug and a pilot. Now, these ships are both powerful. They have controllable pitch propellers. They're gas turbine. They consume fuel, diesel fuel, or not diesel fuel, jet fuel, JP5, at a prodigious rate, which gives them relatively short legs. And the other thing about them is that there are I don't know how many there that have been built, but there are certainly, my guess is maybe 100 of them have been built. They've been a relatively successful class of destroyer, except that they consume fuel and they need to be replenished. The new Coast Guard, what we call, what we have mistakenly, I think, called the National Security Cutter, high endurance cutter, that we are operating now, have long legs. They do not need to be replenished as frequently. And they are turning out to be a pretty successful class of ship. Parenthetical insertion here, they have tumble home on the side. Tumble home. That is where the hull, sides of the hull slant inward. And this is to provide some sort of stealth capability, a little bit of anti-radar geometry. So in any case, the Jack H. Lucas showing me that her captain is elected both to have a tug bent on and is pulling his ship, and secondly, he's got a pilot aboard, and he is declaring that because he's flying the hotel flag. The second photograph shows a egregious failure in basic seamanship. It shows a sailor tossing a heaving line, and on the bitter end of the heaving line is bent on one of the Jack H. Lucas DDG-125 mooring lines. And this heaving line, the monkey's fist, which is the weight out on the end of the heaving line, we can talk a little bit about the nomenclature of heaving lines in a minute, but the weight on the end is called the monkey's fist. And the monkey's fist in this photograph is about 6 inches from the face of the young sailor that has just tossed the heaving line. The objective of the exercise is for the heaving line to reach to the dock, and then the line handlers on the dock pull on it, and then they pull over the mooring line. This particular heaving line has nothing but ringlets in it. There is another word for it, which I believe is these rings, these circles, I believe is on the list of words that we are not allowed to say. I bring this up because one of the basic skills that every sailor learns or should learn is how to pass a heaving line, how to make it up and how to pass it. I still can do it. I was taught how to do it when I was a fourth-class cadet at the academy. I was called a swab. That's what they're called at the Coast Guard Academy. They're called plebes at the Naval Academy. In New London, they're called swabs. I was a swab when I learned how to make up a heaving line, how to pass the heaving line, and how to make sure the monkey fist gets all the way over to the dock. So what this tells me is that despite all of the protestations of Admiral Gilday, who was the Chief of Naval Operations who just retired, that he was going to go back to basics, at least it hasn't reached to the forecastle of the USS Jack H. Lucas DDG-125. Because that heaving line had to be retrieved. It had to be made up again, and it had to be tossed, and maybe by this time the chief in charge of the deck detail forward had taken it over and had passed the heaving line, because by this time the conning officer up on the bridge, having missed the opportunity to get that line number two over, that's the one that you spring in on, is he's missed that because that young seaman did not make the lineup properly, did not pass it properly. In the meantime, Jack H. Lucas is going to get this ANSPY-6 radar. It's going to do all sorts of wonderful and magical things. It's going to take many, many people who are specially trained to operate it, a skill that I do not have, but I certainly could train a young sailor to make up properly and pass a heaving line. And I am hopeful that the new Chief of Naval Operations, who has had herself just one command at sea that I could see in her CV, is going to insist that we go back to basics. Hand, reef, and steer. The old basics of sailing ship days. The able-bodied seaman knows how to hand, reef, and steer. The sailor today knows how to make up a heaving line and pass it over, regardless of the fact that his ship has an ANSPY-6 radar that can do all sorts of wonderful and magical things. In the meantime, the Prime Minister of, and now we're going to the Red Sea. Oh, nomenclature of heaving lines. Heaving line is made up of usually a 12-thread line, maybe 9-thread or 12-thread line, depending on how strong you want it to be. And on the end of it, the end that you toss is a heavy weight called a monkey's fist. A monkey's fist is made up of fancy work. And part of the training of any deck force is how to make up a heaving line and make up a monkey's fist that goes on the end of it. That's the part that gets tossed or heaved so that you can get those lines over. I always expected and required that my lines would go over exactly when I said that I wanted them over. A missed heaving line toss and a line not going over was a mortal sin in Captain Joe's lexicon of mortal sins. So now we go back to the Red Sea. The Prime Minister Sunak, in His Majesty's government in the United Kingdom, in addressing Parliament, says he wants a reduction of tensions in the Red Sea. So, hell, we all want a reduction of tensions in the Red Sea. We want a reduction of tensions in the South China Sea. We want a reduction of tensions in the Arctic, which is the next place that I'm going to take us. So, Prime Minister Sunak saying that this is what he wants is not what he's going to get. The only way he's going to get that is by strength and by resolve and by a carefully thought out both diplomatic and military plan. That's how you do it, Prime Minister. You don't just say, I want this to happen. And it happens. So the next place that we're going is the Arctic. And in my traffic today was the Independent Barents Observer, a newspaper which is published in the Arctic. And it was recommended to me by my friend and colleague, Captain Dr. Professor Lawson Brigham, who has been on with me before and who will be coming on with me again soon. Captain Professor Dr. Brigham knows more about the Russian Arctic than probably just about anybody in the United States. He's written about it. He has edited a book about it. And he maintains his contacts with today, the Independent Barents Observer, which is as independent a reporter as you can get anywhere in the world, has talked about the wish and the desire of the Russians for traffic which is being diverted from the Suez Canal. The reason, of course, that traffic is being diverted from the Suez Canal and going around the long way is because the ships are being attacked by drones and by now missiles, including a U.S. vessel with the name Ocean Jazz. I'd find it hard to be able to say in a meeting of captains and pilots, I'm the commanding officer, or I'm the master, the captain of the motor vessel Ocean Jazz. Ocean Jazz is an interesting ship. She's a heavy lift ship, and there's a photograph of her in the Barents Observer issue for today. And so the Russians are putting on a big push to get ships to go across the Northern Sea Route. And it's for keeping the Northern Sea Route open that the Russians have built the Arctica class of nuclear-powered icebreakers. There are six of them planned in the class. The most recent one has just been, the keel for her has just been laid, and she is going to be named the Leningrad. And the keel was laid on the 80th anniversary of the end of the Leningrad battle, the battle for Leningrad. Another ship in the class, all of them were originally to be named for place names in the Arctic, but two of them have now been renamed for places that are significant in the Russian history. So there is now a Stalingrad, and there is soon to be a Leningrad. Very powerful. If you look at the photograph of them, you'll see that they also were built in particular for the Northern Sea Route and for the Arctic. They were not intended to be taken to Antarctica. They are absolutely enormous in terms of their height. Their rolling moments must be incredible. And I would not want to ride out a Pacific typhoon in one of them. Incidentally, the first of the Russian nuclear-powered icebreakers was Lenin. And there was, before the present Arctica, there was an Arctica. And I believe that she was the first surface ship to go to the North Pole. So the Russians are actively encouraging people to come to and to transit the Northern Sea Route. And they are building all of these ships to assist in that. Do not be deceived. The Russian bear is just waiting for the right time, the right circumstances to exercise some particular malignancy in the Arctic. And on this, you can have my hand, and not just because it just makes sense to me that that's what's going to happen. And when I get Captain, Dr., Professor Brigham on with me soon, this is one of the things that we are going to talk about. The Chinese have also started to make their presence felt, and there is a vessel with the wonderful name Chinese, under the Chinese flag, the People's Republic of China flag, named the New Polar Bear. Look her up. See if you can find her in any one of the websites that we use for merchant traffic. In the meantime, Norway is expanding their drilling and boosting their production in the Norwegian Arctic. And all of this is to tell us that although I don't believe that wind farms and windmills are gone, that there is a scaling back for wind farms. And we've reported on this before, and we will continue to report on it again. In the Panama Canal, another place I'm now taking us from the Arctic to the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal is having trouble getting ships through because of a drought, which has caused the water levels in Gatun Lake to lower. And Gatun Lake is the source of the water supply for the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal Authority has been auctioning off slots. And they've also been allowing ships to pre-book and pre-book by quite a good amount of time ahead of the actual transit. If they pre-book with plenty of notice, then they are assured of a slot going through. The shipping transits for some types, in particular bulk carriers, are down as much as 40%. The one type of ship which is holding steady, and mostly because they are pre-booking their passage, are container ships. There's not been any indication of what's going on with cruise ships. And, of course, some of the cruise ships today are so large they cannot fit through the Panama Canal anyway. So another place that we're going to go today is the subject of all Coast Guard messages. We are now up to All Coast 31 already this year. The subject of it is Coast Guard Enlisted Person of the Year. Now, I don't have any problem with singling out people who are particularly skillful or particularly in keeping with the principles of being a good shipmate. As to say, a little reminder, a shipmate is he or she who puts his mates and ship before himself. Not a very difficult concept in the theory. In my commands, it was expected. And those who did not demonstrate the characteristics of being a true and proper shipmate were the subject of some extra instruction. Usually left to the tender ministrations of the chiefs, under the supervision of XO. It was always one of the most important pieces of every speech that I ever gave, every speech that I give today. And I am still asked every so often before the organizer realizes his or her mistake in asking me to give a speech, but pontification from the captain's chair. I am still asked, and I always work in the idea of shipmates. And I try, do not always succeed, to apply that to my own personal life. So here we are at the end of our time together, and I didn't get to nearly as much as I wanted to. That's always the case. So this is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly. Takes me a little bit longer to get up in the chair. Takes me a little bit longer to get back down. I'm trying to be skillful at working through the bad places so that I can carry on. It is for all of us to carry on with those things for which we are responsible and accountable in this world. It is my hope, my wish, my desire, and my command to me that I will continue to carry on. And your good wishes and your thoughts, and if you are of the praying sort, and I know that many of you are, your prayers will help me work through this particular challenge. So this is your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And next week, I will be broadcasting from a mystery location because I am going to San Diego, and then on my return from San Diego to back to the magical Isle of Vashon, I'm going to be broadcasting from wherever I happen to be at Tuesday afternoon at 12:30 on Pacific time. So listen up for me when we get together, and that will be next week. All of you, as always, remain in the palm of my hand. Somewhat sweaty palm today.